In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this season of Epiphany, and particularly this lectionary year, we celebrate the visitation of the Magi, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, Jesus' first miracle in turning water into wine at a wedding in Cana, and also the glorious transfiguration of Christ on Mount Tabor. These epiphanies about who Jesus is can be characterized in themes of light, water, and wine. These are key themes of Jesus' manifestation to the world as the Son of God. Last Sunday, we celebrated light with the visitation of the Magi, who were led to Christ by the light of a star. Today, we celebrate the theme of water with the baptism of our Lord. And next Sunday, we will hear from John's Gospel about Jesus' first miracle at the wedding in Cana, where Jesus changes water into wine. All three of these themes point to Jesus as the Son of God, and they all help us understand that he is in a unique relationship with the Father, and also that Jesus is worthy of our trust and devotion as the anointed Son of God. In today's gospel, we hear the voice of John the Baptist in word and action, throwing attention off of himself and telling people that he himself is not the promised Messiah. To the people who think John is the Messiah, he tells them, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John is saying that he is not the Messiah, and he points us to Jesus as the one to follow and to believe. Jesus and John are cousins, and even while they are both still unborn, John, being full of the Holy Spirit, knows Jesus' nearness even from the sheer proximity of their mothers. After the angel Gabriel visits Mary to tell her that she will be the mother of Jesus, she goes to see her relative Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John. And from within his mother's womb, he leaps for joy when Mary approaches. From John's conception to his grim death, he has only pointed away from himself and to Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one of God. In this gospel passage, perhaps the hard part to hear is where it says his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. When wheat grows, it grows with a shell of sorts around it called chaff. Chaff is like the husk that you pull off of corn. It's not edible, so we throw it away. In today's gospel, John the Baptist is saying that the wheat will be separated from the chaff, and the wheat will be stored in the granary, and the chaff will be discarded and burned. The chaff is not discarded because it's inherently evil. It's discarded because it's inedible. It's not useful. Once chaff is removed, the wheat that is useful and edible remains. John is saying that Jesus will remove from us the useless things that grow around us and get in our way from loving God and from loving each other. John is saying that Jesus will remove whatever we have built around ourselves that we use to cover his light from shining within us. John is saying that Jesus will break down the walls we build to separate ourselves from those whom we would shut out. Winnowing forks or winnowing fans were devices used to separate the wheat from the chaff. This process was done by tossing the grain-filled fan or fork into the air and spinning it so that the wheat and the chaff would separate. This process requires change and transformation. The grain cannot stay like it was. The useful part must be separate from the useless part. The useless part is discarded. The useless part gets burned with the unquenchable fire is our sins and all that separates us from God getting to us and loving us to the very core of our being. That's the fire of God's love. So the question that has been asked for a very long time is, if Jesus was without sin, why did he need to be baptized? Jesus, in obedience to his Father's will, is baptized to remove our sins and to wash us in the waters in which he consecrates for his own baptism. His physical body in the water consecrated all the water of the earth in order to make those who were baptized into his life, death, and resurrection also part of his own body. Jesus' baptism is an act of the Holy Trinity. The Father calls Jesus beloved Son, the Son being obedient and being beloved, and the Spirit descending to show the world who Jesus is. The voice of God resounds to affirm what the angel Gabriel told Mary, what Elizabeth said at Mary's visitation, and the good news of the angels to the shepherds in Bethlehem, that this is the Son of God. In our own baptism, we are not baptized into a church or into a denomination. We are baptized into Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are made part of Christ's body, grafted onto him because we are his. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. We are baptized into the life he lived, the death he died, and share in his resurrection. When I was a child, my parents would frequently tell my brothers and me that there was nothing we could ever do in the whole world to make them stop loving us. And that's something every child needs and hopes to hear in their life. When I came out in my mid-20s, I wrote my parents a letter in which I reminded them of this promise in hopes that they had not forgotten and that they would still love me. They kept that promise, and it's still very much alive today. In our baptism, God makes the same promise, but times a billion. There is nothing in all creation, there's nothing of our own doing, there is nothing in the depths of our hearts or in the backs of our minds that can separate us from God's love for us. We belong to God because we belong to Jesus through water and the Holy Spirit and the fire of God's love. In hearing the Father say that Jesus is the beloved Son in whom God is well pleased, and being baptized into Jesus, we hear the same from God to us. It is in baptism that we become part of the body of Christ, and we also belong to the body of Christ, becoming and belonging. In Christ, we find where we belong. We belong together as the church because we have become part of his body. We belong to Christ, and thus we belong to one another. We are each other's. In his book, Conjectures of a Guilty Bystander, the Trappist monk and mystic Thomas Merton experiences his own epiphany, and he writes, "My life and my death are not simply my own business. I live by and for others. And even my death involves others. We belong to God and we belong to each other, and it therefore matters how we treat one another." In baptism, we receive a candle because we are bathed in the light of Christ. And we should be quick not to think of ourselves as the source of the light, because the light that shines in the darkness is the marvelous light of Christ. We are called to reflect that light into the darkness of this world. Baptism puts us in a special relationship with God in Christ that calls us to be our best and our truest selves. Baptism says that we can truly be who God made us and calls us to be, and not what the world says we should or have to be. Baptism is a massive assault on the status quo. To participate in baptism is to embrace the behaviors rooted in the radical realignment of our own will with the faithful and loving purposes of God. As the baptized, we become beacons of Christ's light and love, acting as both a warning and as a hope to those who are lost in darkness. And like John the Baptist shows us, we are called to point to Jesus, showing forth his light and letting it shine in our hearts and in our lives. In thinking about the way we share the light of Christ within us, I'm reminded of Madeleine Lingle, who said, "We do not draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe or by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but rather by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it." That, beloved, is who we are called to be as the children of God. There's a story of Desmond Tutu as a young priest in South Africa giving a Bible test to a group of young boys. One of the questions was, what did the voice from heaven say after Jesus was baptized? Most of the boys got it right, but one got it wrong, but in a creative sort of way. He wrote, "You are the Son of God, now act like it." As the baptized, we are children of God. Our sins have been absolved and they have been burned away in the fire of God's love. We are redeemed and we are beloved children of God. May we go forth into the world and act like it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.